King Joseph's reply is less accomplished and moving than Hasdai's letter. No wonder, as Castle remarks, scholarship and culture reigned not among the Jews of the Volga, but on the rivers of Spain. The highlight of the reply is the story of the conversion already quoted. No doubt, Joseph too employed a scribe for penning it, probably a scholarly refugee from Byzantium. Nevertheless, the reply sounds like a voice out of the Old Testament compared to the polished cadences of the 10th century modern statesman. It starts with a fanfare of greetings, then reiterates the main contents of Hasdai's letter, proudly emphasizing that the Khazar kingdom gives the lie to those who say that the scepter of Judah has forever fallen from the Jews' hands, and that there is no place on earth for a kingdom of their own. This is followed by a rather cryptic remark to the effect that already our fathers have exchanged friendly letters which are preserved in our archives and are known to our elders. Joseph then proceeds to provide a genealogy of his people. Though a fierce Jewish nationalist, proud of wielding the scepter of Judah, he cannot and does not claim for them Semitic descent. He traces their ancestry not to Shem, but to Noah's third son, Japheth, or more precisely, to Japheth's grandson, Togarma, the ancestor of all Turkish tribes. We have found in the family registers of our fathers, Joseph asserts boldly, that Togarma had 10 sons, and the names of their offspring are as follows: Uyghur, Dursu, Avars, Huns, Basili, Tarniak, Khazars, Zagora, Bulgars, Sabir. We are the sons of Khazar, the seventh. End quote. The identity of some of these tribes, with names spelt in the Hebrew script, is rather dubious, but that hardly matters. The characteristic feature in this genealogical exercise is the amalgamation of Genesis with Turkish tribal tradition. After the genealogy, Joseph mentions briefly some military conquests by his ancestors, which carried them as far as the Danube. Then follows at great length the story of Bulan's conversion. From this day onwards, Joseph continues, the Lord gave him strength and aided him. He had himself and his followers circumcised and sent for Jewish sages who taught him the law and explained the commandments. There follow more boasts about military victories, conquered nations, etc., and then a significant passage, quote, after these events, one of his, Bulan's, grandsons became king. His name was Obadiab. He was a brave and venerated man who reformed the rule, fortified the law according to tradition and usage, built synagogues and schools, assembled a multitude of Israel's sages, gave them lavish gifts of gold and silver, and made them interpret the 24 sacred books, the Mishnah, or precepts, and the Talmud, and the order in which the liturgies are to be said. End quote. This indicates that, about a couple of generations after Bulan, a religious revival or reformation took place, possibly accompanied by a coup d'etat on the lines envisaged by Artamonov. It seems, indeed, that the Judaization of the Khazars proceeded in several steps. We remember that King Bulan drove out the sorcerers and idolaters before the angel appeared to him, and that he made his covenant with the true God before deciding whether he was the Jewish, Christian, or Muslim God. It seems highly probable that the conversion of King Bulan and his followers was another intermediary step, that they embraced a primitive or rudimentary form of Judaism based on the Bible alone, excluding the Talmud, all rabbinical literature, and the observances derived from it. In this respect, they resembled the Karaites, a fundamentalist sect which originated in the 8th century in Persia and spread among Jews all over the world, particularly in Little Khazaria, that is, the Crimea. Dunlop and some other authorities surmised that between Bulan and Obadiah, that is, roughly between 740 and 800 AD, some form of Karaism prevailed in the country, and that Orthodox rabbinic Judaism was only introduced in the course of Obadiah's religious reform. The point is of some importance, because Karaism apparently survived in Khazaria to the end, and villages of Turkish-speaking Karaite Jews, obviously of Khazar origin, still existed in modern times. Thus, the Judaization of the Khazars was a gradual process which, triggered off by political expediency, slowly penetrated into the deeper strata of their minds, and eventually produced the messianism of their period of decline. Their religious commitment survived the collapse of their state, and persisted, as we shall see, in the Khazar Jewish settlements of Russia and Poland.